Dear friends, let us joyfully continue our study of chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. Now we actually get to the point when Babylon falls, the time of weeping, and we shall see three categories of people crying over Babylon: the kings, the merchants, and the seamen. This chapter is also the one that reveals the economic power of Babylon. Up to now, she has been known as a political power, a religious authority. But now appears a third aspect. We are told about the merchants. She is an economic power. And so, we must realize that Babylon is a huge system, a system that covers all the earth and which exercises at the same time political, religious, and economical authority over the whole world. I invite you to read with me about those who correspond to the first category, the kings. We read verses 9 and 10. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." The text simply tells us that within a single hour, a judgment has come. And they, the kings, consider it as a misfortune. They stand afar. Yes, they are part of the system, but it seems that what is burning there, what is falling apart, is the city of Babylon. So, the collapse of Babylon is extremely fast. We were told 1 day, but now we are told 1 hour. Anyway, it is extremely a short time. Now, let's read what happens with the merchants. We read from verse 11. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchant of these things, who became rich by her, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing." Here we see the economical power of Babylon. We have here one of the effects of globalization. Indeed, we have seen recently that when a bank collapses, the others are in danger of collapsing too. This is an effect of the globalization. In the past, when a merchant fell, others were eager to take his place. But today, the system is such that everything fits together, and so the collapse of one side causes the collapse of the other. We have seen this not so long ago. Therefore, this is here a result of globalization and global finance, which was unpredictable at John's time, but which now clearly appears in this text. Then verse 12 offers a list of objects and things that are part of this trade. In fact, the whole system, the whole trade stops, meaning that she indeed holds the keys of all trade. Verse 12 is entirely devoted to luxurious objects. I read it again. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Thus, she holds globally the luxury trade. Well, you certainly all know that the only trade that emerges and is currently thriving today is the trade of luxury. There have never been so many billionaires, and there have never been so many poor on this planet than nowadays. We have here a beginning of what will happen and which is denounced in this verse 12. But that's not all. She does not only hold the trade of luxury, but the end of verse 12 says, of bronze, iron, marble, that is to say, of building materials. She holds in her hand buildings and public works. And then it goes to say in verse 13, and cinnamon and incense, fragrance, oil and frankincense. Here it concerns taste trading, all the trades of food additives, fragrance and cosmetics. Then the list continues with wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, sheep, oxen. All this has to do with food processing industry. You already know that this industry is within few hands. When we look at verse 13, we are told about horses and chariots. This can evoke even traveling, transportation or weaponry. And it is likely that she also holds in her hands the whole arm dealing. It is hard to imagine such global power. The last element, which is not the least, it's about trafficking with human bodies and men's soul, a trade that makes us shudder. What could body trading be? One can think of slavery, of forced labor for children. One can think of prostitution, of organ trafficking. And we know that these things do exist. And what about soul traffic? When scientists and those at the top agree to spread false information in order not to scare the population, are they not selling their souls to the system? Looks like this is not enough yet, as other areas seem under the control of Babylon. I would like to move a little further in the text and go to verse 22. It is said, the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. and the sound of the milestone shall not be heard in you anymore. It is likely that all of these are related to matters of entertainment and crafts. But verse 23 continues and says, "The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived." Enchantments. The Greek word used here is pharmakia, which meaning is pharmacopy, drugs as a whole. And she probably still holds the drug trade and much of the population by this drug industry, whether legal or illegal. But the verse also tells us something that is already very true nowadays. Your merchants were the great men of the earth. Revelation 18:23. We have the strong impression that those who hold finance today are the international commercial bodies. These are the institutions that hold the world today. I'd like to continue now with verse 14. We can read Revelation 18:14. "The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. Her time is over." Revelation 18:15. "The merchants of these things, who became rich by her, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing." This is the second category crying now. The merchants, they mourn. They indeed definitely took advantage of that trade. And now it's the end for them too. They say in Revelation 18:16, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour, such great riches came to nothing." And they lament over the lost wealth. And again, no lamentation is heard over the fate of all the poor who could have no access to these things, who have worked all their lives so that a few may live in luxury. No complaints are about the fact that the trade no longer exists. In a single hour, so many things have been destroyed. Then we come to the third category, the seamen, all those who sail. Let's read the following. "For in one hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?' They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city, in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by wealth, for in one hour, she is made desolate.'" The comment is the same. In one hour, she is made desolate. Here we have people from a lower level, people of limited means benefiting from the system. They too have boats on the sea. They are not great merchants of the earth, but they take advantage of the system. And they too will lament. They lament over their lost trade, not over their companions, those who could not have the same advantages. I'd like you to note that what is said in Revelation 13:4, just the same as in Revelation 18:18, they say, what is like this great city? We saw something similar in chapter 13, verse 4. Men say the following. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Power on both sides. Wealth. This is on which they have their attention focused on. But the name of Michael, the name of Jesus, is who is like God. Do we want to look at all that glitters, at what manifests power, or do we want to look at the truth? Do we want to look at the authentic truth, at the authentic power, at Jesus? They would be ready to keep on. They throw dust on their heads. They mourn. They do wept too. So we see three categories crying: the kings, the merchants, and the seamen. Whereas in the parallel of the book of Revelation, that is the section of the judgment of the house of God in chapter 5, we see that it is John who is crying. He is in a desperate situation because the scroll cannot be opened. But the solution will be found. The Lamb will open the scroll. But here, there is no solution, no solution at all. The only perspective is death. In verse 20, there is rejoicing at the fall of Babylon. For if those are lamenting, there are others who are rejoicing. Let's read this verse 20. Revelation 18, verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. The Greek text is slightly different. The original meaning stands for, God has judged your judgment coming from her. That is to say, Babylon has condemned you, so God judges the judgment by which she condemned you. It was an unfair judgment. And we can read in Revelation 6 verse 10 about what was already said by the souls under the altar. Revelation 6:10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Well, the waiting time is long. They were being said until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. And now God has judged her. And when it is said that he is the avenger, the Greek word is ekdikeo, which means more to get justice, signifying that the truth comes to light, justice comes to light. And it will be clearly shown that the condemnations Babylon brought upon the people of God were particularly unfair. Now, we still have to read the third voice. Let's read what is said in chapter 18 from verse 21. We have already read part of it. Revelation 18:21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The idea is always the same. It is to show how violent the fall of Babylon will be. As much violence she uses, the same will she endure and fall violently. As we have already read the following verse, I would just like to read with you a parallel text in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 10. Jeremiah 25, verses 10 and 11. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the milestones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon. In fact, here Babylon is falling. All of a sudden, all the festivities stop. The sound of millstone, craftsmen, all of these come to an end. Perhaps we may understand the voice of the bride, that of the bridegroom, as being the voice of God and that of the people of God. This voice will no longer be heard in Babylon. So, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorcery all the nations were deceived. This we have already seen in verse 23. I would only like to emphasize the word sorcery. That's the Greek word pharmakia we have already seen. Verse 24 is terrible. Revelation 18, 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth. The system was a bloody one. The system was terrible, but this appears only at her fall. So, in conclusion, I would like to invite you to read with me a passage which is from the pen of Apostle Paul in his second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. These things must happen. We know they must happen. They will demonstrate human pride. But God is at the helm. God leads all things. If He let evil grow to that extent, it is to provide further evidence of the malignancy. He will not leave those things unpunished, and He will not leave His people orphaned during these difficult times.